We talked last week about laying a proper foundation for a home, and we said you better have more than sand as a foundation for your home, because it will not stand if you don't. And the same thing is true of your life. If you're building on the sand of this world, your life will not stand up to the storms of life. So we're going to start today reading Psalm 89, verse 11 through 18. So if you'll stand, we'll honor God as we read his word. The heavens are yours, and yours also the earth. You founded the world and all that's in it. You created the north and the south. Tabor and Hermon sing for joy at your name. Your arm is endowed with power, and your hand is strong, your right hand exalted. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are those who've learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long. They celebrate your righteousness. For you are their glory and strength. And by you, by your favor, you exalt our horn. Indeed, our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel. Father, as we go back into your word again today, Lord, help us to examine our own life, to see if we're really building on the rock, Jesus Christ, or we're building on the sand and the teachings of this present world. And Father, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. For those that were here last week, remember we talked about Leave It to Beaver, the show that was popular in the 1950s. And we talked about how much life has changed. You know, we got young people here that weren't alive in the 1950s. They weren't alive in the 60s. They weren't alive in the 70s, 80s, 90s. In fact, they weren't alive until 2000 plus. Folks, things have changed so much, they don't know what we've lived. And so it's our responsibility to tell them how life was when most people were trusting in the Word of God as the foundation for their life. Because the majority of people today are not trusting in the Word of God as the foundation for their homes or their own lives. We talked last week about the foundation of righteousness and justice is the foundation of God's kingdom. Today we're going to look at the second part, love and faithfulness. If you look at Psalm 89, verse 14, again, it says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. And we talked about that last week. This week, love and faithfulness go before you. And the same should be true in our lives. Love and faithfulness should go before us in everything we say and everything we do. Blessed are those who've learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, Lord. One of the things we need to remember about God is his loyal love. Those God loves, he never stops loving. And John 3:16 is not in our notes, but it makes it very clear who God loves. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so the question goes out to you. Do you know today that you have everlasting life? Have you personally received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Because that's the answer to the whole problem of life. So many people today are getting caught up in the teachings and the ways of this world and forsaking the ways of God. And it's literally not just destroying our nation, but our whole world is in upheaval today because of it. In Psalm 89, verse 30, God has unconditional love. He says about David's sons, if his sons forsake my law and do not follow my statutes, if they violate my decrees and fail to keep my commands, I will punish their sin with the rod, their iniquity with flogging. But I will not take my love from him, nor will I ever betray my faithfulness. Folks, it's so important for you to understand, once you are God's child through faith in Jesus Christ, when we sin, we get a spanking. I never liked spankings much. My dad was an expert at giving spankings, and I never cared for it much, but I want to tell you, it helped me. It was good for me. And it's good for us as Christians when our Father disciplines us with the rod. We need it, and we need it often. Unfortunately, many people today are not corrected by God, and it's because they're not his children. I never once, now when my children were little, I mean really little, I did give them spankings. When they got to be teenagers, you're way beyond spanking time. It's not going to work anymore. All you're going to do is make somebody angry. But when they were little, I had them go out and cut their own little switch off the lilac tree. And they'd come back with a little teeny stick. And they'd say, no, you got to get a bigger one. We kept going until they got one that they could feel. But we spanked them so that they would learn respect, so that they would learn that there are things that are right, there are things that are wrong. And our God loves us too much to let us go on in wrong. Even if you're his child, he will lay hands on you, and you're going to remember it. So we look at this. David's sons did exactly what God said. David's sons did forsake him. They did disobey him. But God never stopped loving them. God brought the rod. God has a heart of love for you. And maybe you're here today, and you've got some really deep sin in your life. I want to tell you, if you're God's child, he's never stopped loving you. And even if you're not his child yet by personal faith, he loves you too. And he will come after you. When we read the story of the prodigal son in the Bible, remember the prodigal son? He grew up on the farm with his older brother, his dad and mom. And he got to be a teenager late in teen years, and he decided he wanted to do his own thing. So he told his father, Dad, you're not going to die anytime soon, so why don't you just give me my part of the inheritance, and I'll be out of here. And so the dad gave him the inheritance. And the Bible says he went off to a far land away from his dad because he didn't want his dad interfering with his life anymore. He went off, and he wasted the money, and then a famine hit. And he wound up a Jewish young man feeding pigs. Now, nothing wrong with pigs today so much, but pigs were an unclean animal in the Old Testament. He shouldn't have been around pigs at all. But he was down there with the pigs, nothing to eat, no food, no water, no nothing. And the Bible says he came to his senses. And when he came to his senses, he says, how many of my father's servants have more than enough to eat? I'm going to go back to my father's house. Do you know who that father represents? That represents your Father in heaven. Even if you don't know him by faith yet, he's still your Creator God. And he loves you. And if you'll come back to your senses, the Bible says when that boy was still a long ways off, his father saw him coming. And his father ran to him and embraced him. Do you know why that father was out there watching for his boy to come? Because that father was praying for his boy. He had it on his heart, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, and he would go and watch and watch and wait. Your Heavenly Father is doing the same thing for you right now. He longs for you to come into fellowship with him. Billy Graham, and some of you remember Billy Graham, some of you maybe a little younger don't remember Billy Graham, but he was a wonderful evangelist in my lifetime. Billy Graham was asked one time, you know, the newspapers in secular news, they like to trip up Christians. So they asked Billy Graham, if your son got into homosexual lifestyle, would you still love him? And this is back before homosexuality became pretty popular today. Billy Graham said, yes, I'd love him. In fact, I think I would love him more. And they said, why would you love him more if he's living in sin? He said, because he's hurting. He's hurting himself and he's hurting others around him. And I would love him and show him even more love Folks, if you have somebody in your family that's fallen into sin, and we probably all do, you ought to love them even more. You don't take part with them in their sin, but you love them. The Bible says Jesus was a friend of sinners. Now, it doesn't mean he went along with what they did, but he loved them. He cared for them. God's love is not conditional. God loves you enough, he will spank you. We talked about that. But it's not conditional. He does love you. He loves you too much to let you go the way you're going. And so he'll come after you and correct you. God cares. In John 1:12, and if you don't know these verses, these are extremely important, especially if you're here today and you don't know if you have eternal life, you don't know where you're going, listen to these verses. It's yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Dave, can we go back to verse 12? I want to take these one at a time because this is so important. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name. How many here know what the name Jesus means? Because you're believing in his name. Jesus means Jehovah saves. In other words, God is my Savior. That's what his name means. If you'll trust in his name, if you'll trust in what he did on the cross to pay for your sin, you become a child of God. Verse 13. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. You may have parents or grandparents that were Christians. That does not make you a Christian. There's only one thing that makes you a Christian, and that's believing in the name of the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Creator. Verse 14 tells us who he was. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. I want you to compare that just for a second with John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. You don't have it in your notes, but in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. That Word became flesh. Jesus Christ, whether you know it or not, is the Creator of everything there is. He's God, and he loves you. And he became a person, a man, born of a virgin, did not have a human father like all of us did. The sin nature passes from the fathers to the third and fourth generation. Jesus did not have a human father. The Holy Spirit was his father, so he was born without a sin nature. He obeyed everything that God commanded him to do, and then he shed his blood on the cross to pay for your sin and mine. When we place our faith in him, he becomes our Savior. I mentioned before, and I'll mention it many times probably while I'm still here, behind my house, I have a 2.5-acre pond. I can fall in that pond, any place in that pond, and I don't need a Savior. I can swim to the shore. No problem. But if I'm out on an ocean liner with my wife out in the Pacific Ocean, and that liner goes down, and I'm 500 miles from the nearest land, guess what? I need a Savior. I need somebody to come along and rescue me because I can't do it. Folks, you need a Savior because you are a sinner. Just like me, I cannot save myself. That's why Jesus Christ came. Before he ever created mankind in his own image, God already had a plan of redemption. You see, God was not surprised when Adam and Eve sinned, and he's not surprised when you and I sin. He knew that was going to happen. And so he set up Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, to be the Savior of the world before he ever created the world. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, it says, instead, speaking the truth in love, will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We are to speak the word of God in love and in truth. God says, going before him is love and faithfulness. It's extremely important that we have that in our lives as well. Sometimes we have a problem with love and truth. Trying to keep a balance of keeping love equal with truth. What our problem is sometimes we become so loving that truth falls to the ground. Other times we become so truthful about life that there's no love in it. God has love and faithfulness in perfect balance. Randy Elkhorn wrote a book on John 1:14. It's called Full of Grace and Truth. And he said this, if you are all truth and minimize grace, you give people no hope for salvation. I mean, there's no hope for me. It's just you beating me up to death with the truth. But if you give them all grace and no truth, there's no need for salvation. I mean, why do I need it? I'm just great the way I am. There's just grace. It's just easy grace. It's there for everybody. You don't have to do anything. God has no standards, just grace. You see, there are standards that have to be met in order to receive the grace of God. God does offer his grace to everyone. But if you don't meet God's requirements, you don't get God's grace. We talked about the children of Israel in Sunday school today, approaching the land of promise. God told them, if you'll go in and take that land, I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. But the Bible says they did not combine the promise of God with faith in the promise. And they said, we can't go in. Do you know if you say you can't, you can't? It really is that simple. If you don't believe you can, you can. But if you believe you can through God's power, you can. It's up to you. The question is there. Truth is like this. Suppose you're at a cliff. Truth puts up a sign up there, cliff, be careful. You got the warning. Truth gives you a warning. But truth doesn't make you a better driver. You're coming to a curve and the cliff is there. The warning sign is there. But if you go over that cliff, do you know what truth's going to do for you? Not a thing. Not a thing. But when you get to the bottom of that cliff, grace is there. Grace already has an ambulance because it knows sooner or later you're going to go over the cliff. Grace offers you the help that you need, but grace never gave you a warning. In fact, grace almost encourages you to go over the cliff because at the bottom there's care, there's love, there's gentleness. So what God is saying to you, he is both grace and truth. He will give you the warning. But if you fail to heed the warning, guess what he'll give you? He'll give you grace if you'll take it. He loves you too much to leave you the way you are. He loves you just the way you are, but he doesn't want you to stay the way you are. God wants you to grow in him. That's why we need both grace and truth, love and faithfulness. In Proverbs 16, verse 6, it says, through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. So I want to talk about that just for a minute. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Who atoned for your sin through his love and faithfulness? It wasn't me, was it? It wasn't you. It's Jesus Christ. Through his love and his faithfulness, he atoned for your sin. And maybe you don't know what the word atone means. It means it's totally paid for. It's like you went to the bank, you took out a loan on a house today it'd probably be $500,000 for the average house, but you took out a loan for a house, you went back the next month to make the payment, and they said, oh, it's already paid. Your neighbor down the road paid the whole balance. You don't owe a thing. That's what God did for you and I. God became flesh. He shed his blood on that cross to pay for my sin, and all I have to do is personally receive him. That's it. There's no other requirement. So through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for, and here's the second key. Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. So what in the world is the fear of the Lord? Does that mean every moment? Now, I've been saved 50 years now. I received Christ when I was 25 years old. Does that mean every day I'm just afraid of God and, oh, I don't dare do anything? No, the fear of the Lord is a reverential awe for God. You say, Lord, you know everything. I don't. You're all powerful. I'm not. Lord, give me the grace to listen to what you say and to obey you. That's the fear of the Lord. And when you have that, it will keep you from all kinds of evil. This world, your own flesh, and the devil are constantly trying to draw you into sin, and the end of sin is death. Through the reverential awe of God, you can avoid a lot of that stuff. You'll be blessed in your life. You'll bless your own home if you learn to reverence and fear the Lord. So we get our sins forgiven through the faithfulness, the faithful love of our Lord. God's grace comes to us, but we have to choose to accept God's grace. In Psalm 89, verse 15, it says, blessed are those who've learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, Lord. You see, no matter where you go, no matter what you're doing, whether you think you're close to the Lord or not, he's right there with you. We keep thinking, I can do something and God won't see it. Do you know right this second, God says he knows how many hairs are on every head in this room? He knows how many hairs are on every head in the state of Michigan? He knows how many hairs are on the state of everybody in the United States and everybody in the world? He says you can't go any place to hide from him. No matter where you are, he's there. He sees it all, he knows it all, and yet he chooses to love us anyhow. That's pretty impressive to me. So extending God's solid foundation to others, it's one thing to receive the grace of God and the truth of God, but now it's another thing to extend that to others. It's so important for us to understand what I want for this church, what I want for my own home, what I want in my own family is to have a group of people that love and care for each other. And the more people walk away, the more we should care. It's so important for us. We're not a country club, where you pay your dues and you come and you go home and you just enjoy the golf game or you enjoy the music or whatever. Folks, this is a hospital, believe it or not. It's a hospital for the soul. It's a place where people who have a load of guilt and shame can come and find some love and some respect and some hope. And it's important for each of us to be that way. When somebody says, I'm struggling with sin, we don't put them down. We pray for them. We talk to them. We show them love. We show concern. So we come here and we're going to love you. Regardless of where you are in your life, we're going to love you and try to help you to continue your growth in Christ. The song says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. And maybe you're with us today and you've been building on sand most of your life. You're not building your life on God's word. You're not building your life on God's love or faithfulness. You're building your life on what this world thinks is right and wrong. My friends, it's sand. It will not hold you. It cannot hold you, because the things that are being taught today all across our nation, from the president right on down into our school systems, is the sand of this world. You and I need to proclaim the word of God, because that will help young people to build their lives on the rock, Jesus Christ. It'll make all the difference for all their life. Maybe you're that prodigal son today or prodigal daughter. You wandered a long ways off. You need to know that God's love and faithfulness is still there for you. He loves you more, not less. He longs to comfort you. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 28, he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let me ask, would you like to do that today? Would you like to come to Jesus Christ and lay your burdens down? Have him carry the load? Because that's when you've got two animals that yoke together, the strong animal pulls the weight, the weaker animal just stays in step. When you yoke up with Jesus Christ, he's the stronger one. He'll carry you through your life. And so I just want to encourage you today, if you want to receive Christ, see me at the back. Less than 5 minutes, I can show you from the Word of God how to become a son or daughter of God. Father, we're so grateful for your Word. We're grateful, Lord, that you love us and that you're faithful. We're grateful, Lord, that you're righteous and you're gracious. Father, work in our hearts so that we become those kinds of people. Help us to help those that are hurting. Help us to be an encouragement, not so much truth that we forget grace, but not so much grace that we forget truth. Lord, it's sad, but many churches are leaving the truth of your word behind and trying to say it's all grace. Lord, we need that balance. Keep us faithful, and we'll give you the praise in Christ Jesus' holy name. Amen.